Okay, sir, would you please state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Ryan Del Teriyashi, my number's 203-213.
Thank you, sir, and pardon me for not recognizing your name as it's pronounced. My hearing isn't what it used to be. Okay, you were just for the Arizona Board of Executive Timothy this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. And lead on the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse. And in the center is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. All the way to the right is the Honorable Louis Canones. And my name is Dave Neal. I'll be the hearing lead. Also with us today, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections. And I'll also represent the poll office today. So, prior to the hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir, I have it right here.
Okay, I'm informed you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
No, I'm here by myself and my family.
Okay. So, at this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in, and I'm going to also, do you want to speak on your behalf? Okay, I'm going to swear you in at the same time, so, all right. So, do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir. I do.
All right. So you're going to be conducting two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the three allegations that are on your warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. Okay?
Okay, sir.
Okay, so allegation number one is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision. Number seven is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about December 12, 2018 for the past GCMS lab report dated December 17, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
Allegation number two is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision. Number seven is demonstrated by your use of heroin on or about December 12, 2018, for the TAF GCMS lab report dated December 17, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
All right. Item number three is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 918 West Mountain View Road, number 2, in Phoenix, Arizona, on or about December 19, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Mr. Teriyashi. Okay. All right, thank you, and I again apologize for butchering
your name.
Okay. So based on your admission, I'm going to find that you're going to, as you violated terms and conditions of your supervision, that you may have not to adopt the lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canonis, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Ms. Lindenhouse. Okay, so we're going to be moving in phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
Mr. Teriyashi was released from Arizona Department of Corrections on November 16, 2018. He was arrested January 15, 2019 by the Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit. There were no new charges. He was back into custody on January 15, 2019 with an adjusted community supervision end date of January 14, 2020 with 27 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012, armed robbery, 8 years. His prior convictions in 2006, theft of means of transportation, 2 counts. Count 1, 3 years. Count 2, 2.5 years. 2006, forgery, 2.5 years. 2008, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2008, forgery, 2.5 years. 2008, marijuana violation, 1 year. This is his third term in DOC. CUIR score 4-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. STG gang information notes, he's a member of Northside 15th Ave Criminal Street Gang. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS release of standard, 23 days, reinstated by the BOEC, of standard 115 days, arrested on a new felony, possession of marijuana, revoked by the BOEC. 2010, TIS release of standard, 81 days, revoked by the BOEC. His discipline violations are moderate, with drugs and alcohol noted. Other arrests, 2001, criminal damage, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2002, shoplifting, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2004, theft and means of transportation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2005, forgery, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2005, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2005, forgery, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G8B9.
Thanks, sir. Sir, can you hold the phone down away from your mouth and nose a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a tendency for people to kind of raise it up there, and it's a sensitive microphone on there. Okay, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision. You were released homeless, and then you were approved to reside with your cousin, Victoria.
Yes.
And along Mountain View. And on November 30, 2018, TCO Carter met with you and your sister, Kelly. You advised that you would prefer to live with your sister and was approved and moved to 918 North Mountain View. So that's, why did you leave there?
Okay, so, I had went to my parole officer and I let her know about my use, that I wanted help with it. And I asked her to go into the program, the reentry program, but I'm nervous right now, so excuse me. But so when I was there seeing my parole officer, she had told me, listen, if you're using drugs in that household, I can call CPS on your sister and your kids can get taken away from your sister. I've never been on heroin ever in my life. I ended up getting on it here in prison, you know. There's absolutely no type of treatment in here for me. My counselor is out here, she can vouch for that. I asked her for the help, and because it was so hard for me to detox, because it's like, you guys, heroin is like, it affects your whole body. You know, it's like the worst thing I've ever felt in my life. And why I left the residence is because ultimately I just could not detox long enough to start my Suboxone, because I did go to a clinic as well. But the detox was so bad I couldn't face it, you know. So I ultimately just left my sister's house because I didn't want CPS being called on her or my nieces and nephews, because she doesn't deserve that, you know.
Okay. So did you have any employment while you were
there? No, but I was going to school. I started at Arizona Automotive Institute. I ended up getting a grant, and I started December 4th for welding. They also promised me a job halfway through schooling.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully when all of a sudden everything is settled down, because to hold a job like that, you can't afford to be on drugs, really. They probably, knowing your background, they'll do it in a lot of places like that, do random UAs, because they don't want their students to get off track. So, let's see, so you were assigned a task. You have one client due for meth and heroin. You said you've been using inside and got You told me the CMS program would not deal you with a vitriol shot or Suboxone until it's due to not testing clean. So those, yeah, that's one of the problems. Even like MRC or PRC, to get in there, you have to be clean when you go in. You probably delay during the intake and you're out of there. So, it's good. I mean, it sounds like you're concerned about your condition. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
So, Hang on a minute.
Okay, there's no questions coming from the other board members at this time. So, we will be nearing the end of your hearing, and if in a couple of minutes the board will go into discussion to make a determination. But before we do that, would I give you an opportunity to make a final statement and tell us? I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, we'll let your rural district supporters speak. You can choose the order.
Well, my knees are all bent.
I apologize for getting things out of order.
That's okay. That's okay. My name is Tammy Tiriachi. I'm Ryan's mother. We found out that he had a stroke addiction. He has come to me many times. In the past, I used to not do heroin, but I did meth. I've got 7 years clean on me. I am now a supervisor at a hotel. I've changed my life around. I'm taking care of my family, my grandkids. And Ryan has come to me and asked me for help. I went to the, I can't remember the name now because I'm so... Anyway, I had gone into rehab at one point. And they told me anytime I needed to, I could bring my son, any of my family friends who are needing help, I could come back because I was a good role model. I had a brother in Calvin, a teammate that's a deacon of a church. And he said that we could come up there anytime and he would help Ryan out to the church. They have jobs for him up there. I have jobs lined up for him at the hotel. He could be a grounds person. Family support, my daughter, she was going to come today, but my grandson was hit by a car yesterday. And the lady stole his bike, so she's waiting for the detective. Other family members had to work. I took off work to be here. So he does have the support. His fiance back here is a nurse. She's got her own home. She lives out of the Centerville area, is where he has his problems with. And we're going to put him into that if he's okay. We're going to put him over there as well. It's on the north side of Phoenix. So I know he has his problem, but my son's good-hearted boy. You know what I'm saying? And he really, really wants to get clean, and he wants to be productive. He wants to start a family, and he wants to be with his family. So I would just ask the board, please, give that consideration and let him come home. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Would you like to speak?
My name is Paula Gross. I'm Ryan's fiance. And I just wanted to come here today. I don't necessarily say I want to speak on his behalf, but I want to speak on an issue that I think is important to address to a board such as yourself. For 8 years, I've been a nurse, and in that time frame, we've put bodies inside of basements of hospitals of heroin addicts overdosing. We bury people's children all the time. There's families that are crying on us as a nurse saying, you know, help me, or I didn't see the signs, or what could we have done differently. Absolutely, people deserve to be punished for committing crimes. I have a lot of respect for the justice system in that respect. The problem is when I had got with Ryan, he was very upfront with me, and he told me I have a drug addiction. My first response to that is I'm a mom of three kids that are 20, 19, and 16. One's a Marine, the other went to college, and they're just good kids. So I was concerned about Ryan being in my home or near my children, just with statements such as that. And after I decided to go ahead and continue on with this relationship with Ryan, I realized this is a good person. I've known him since I was 8 years old and his family. However, he didn't exactly have the same toolbox, I want to say, from his family setting as I did. And so some things have turned out much different for this young man than myself. So I just wanted to come up here and I guess maybe speak on his behalf to say that as his fiance, and I do love him very much, he's a really very good man. He's struggling with an addiction that's actually changes the prefrontal cortex of your brain. It affects your decision making and your emotions and everything. So one, when he contacted that parole officer and just tried to give him a shot, he messed it up. He did go to the treatment center and he's detoxed for 3 days and was supposed to check in with her to go to a 3-month program with the parole vision. And at that point, he mentally was not capable of doing that. So he decided to go ahead and run from this situation. And so that's his problem. And rather than prison for a year, I'm just asking at the mercy of the justice system to please allow me that the program that I found, I work with a large division of medical staff that are with psychiatric help and drug rehabilitation. I'm just asking that if he couldn't be released instead of just sit in this prison for another year with these other criminals.
I apologize, but we're going to have to move on because it's 5 o'clock and we're going to have to close this building.
Yeah,
I apologize. Another one board has a 6 o'clock meeting and I know another one has a 6:30 situation, so I apologize. So I think we got your message and we certainly appreciate it, ma'am.
Thank you.
She has an act.
Thank you so much. Sorry, Ms. Andy.
Okay, now back to you, sir. The board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination, but before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. We just ask that you don't repeat the information we've already gone over.
Okay, this is going to take maybe 2 minutes, okay? I knew I was going to be nervous, so I wrote it down. I hope you guys don't mind. First I want to take full responsibility for my actions. You know I was wrong in doing that. As the board is aware, I just recently got out from doing 7 years, a little over 7 years in the Department of Corrections. In that time, I ended up finding a habit. You know, I was depressed, and I was looking for something to fill the void, and I ended up finding heroin ultimately. I tried quitting, going to other yards, but everywhere I went, it was there, you know? And I really hated the addiction, but I just couldn't stop. As hard as I tried that pain of the detox, it was hard, you know, like it just attacked every part of my body. And I did end up going to the Suboxone to the clinic on 23rd Avenue, which my girlfriend has proof with. I contacted my parole officer, sending her pictures of my enrollment, you know, but ultimately I just couldn't get to the detox again. I couldn't get as far as into the detox to start the program. I asked my parole officer for help in one of my visits. You know, I asked her, I said, please help me, I want to be off this stuff. You know, and she told me to go to Community Bridges, which I did go. I went there, and again, the detox, it's just, ultimately, everything stopped me because of this detox, because like, it's just so painful, I couldn't get through it, you know? Like, it was very hard. Ultimately, I ended up going into Alhambra and detoxing, which it was so horrible, but I got through it. I've been clean 41 days now. I ain't touched it. I plan on never touching it again. I would just ask to please let me go to treatment. I need treatment. I don't need to be stuck in this prison. I've been in here a long time. My history will show you guys that I always rebelled, but this time was different. I got out, I made every appointment with my parole officer, all the way up until I signed new conditions to where she told me if I didn't go to the reentry center, I'll be back in prison. And since I didn't go, that's when I ultimately just stopped talking to her, you know what I mean? And I left my sister's house. So I'm just asking you, please, I need treatment. I don't need this prison. I've been here a long time already. There's nothing in here. My counselor is right outside. She didn't tell you. She said she would come in here and tell you guys there's absolutely no programming in here. None at all whatsoever. So, thank you for hearing me. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, before we begin the discussion, make determinations, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. We may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent, and you can hear the whole conversation. Once we've made a decision, I'll get back to you, okay?
Thank you.
Closing down discussion. Well, it sounds like Mr. Tarachi wants to do to get rid of drugs, but his two other TIS releases were miserable failures, you might say, long of scam time, and this time he gets out, it's not as long of a scam, but it's still being scammed again, and it sounded like he went to detox several times and was not successful until he actually got reincarcerated. So to me, that says that maybe prison is where he needs to be until he has really been able to break the habit. Although I know everyone's available in there, he's not had the willpower to get detoxed that he was put back in jail. And it's ultimately it's all up to him. You can't put him in a straitjacket and tie him to the wall. And that's about the only way you can, somebody that won't make up their mind to do it themselves, that's about the only way you can ever get them to do it. You can't do that legally in this country. And I understand why not. But to make a long story short, at this point in time, I'm not in favor of a return to community supervision. But I'm going to listen to discussions from the fellow board members if there is any. Alright, so based on all the information, warrant number 2019W0077, Mr. Turiasi's testimony and information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to revoke the supervision of Mr. Turiasi because he's a delinquent, violated terms and conditions of the supervision and have act or about to act in the criminal ways or company and very specifically drug usage. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Columbus, agreed by
that's why the Department of Corrections is not the Department of Corrections, you know what I mean? Because
okay, sir, sir, I was getting back to you, and the board has revoked your community supervision at this time?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, well, and you heard the discussion, and you, with your own testimony, are indicating that the best way for you to break the habit is to be locked up in jail. But sir,
thank you.
The board has no authority, sir. Please,
I love you.
The board has no authority for your placement. Okay, we can't put you somewhere. We're going to decide whether to turn you. Okay, well, the hearing is over. This is the end of the discussion. Would you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Maybe I love you, Mom. I love you, guys. I'm sorry, all right?